Scripture reading for this evening comes from the book of James, chapter 3. James, chapter 3, reading from verses 1 through 12. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in the mouths of horses that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, whatever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men, who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessings and curses. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh.
Good evening. Let not many of you become teachers. When I was a kid, I ran across this. I read the first few verses, and I thought, just passed it by. He was just talking about blatherskite. Well, it might be a blatherskite, but it goes deeper than that. The epistle of James was written to the Jewish Christian who was scattered abroad due to religious persecution. This letter is unusual because not only is it considered the earliest epistle in the New Testament, but also all other New Testament books have more of a Christian element in them than what we can find in the epistle of James. Resurrection, there's no mention of it. We hold ourselves dear to the hope of being resurrected with Jesus Christ, but James didn't go in that. Gospel, he didn't say anything about go and preach the gospel to every creature. There is no suggestion that the Messiah had appeared. In a letter, you don't see be baptized, thou shalt be saved. There's no mention of baptism. Instead, what James penned in his letter, they can be pretty well corroborated through Jesus Christ's personal teaching, especially concerning the Sermon on the Mount. This epistle can be construed as the owner's manual, as opposed to the auto shop manual, on how to live our lives spiritually in the sight of our God and Father. The time frame of the epistle is probably around when Saul met Jesus on the way to Damascus, when he went there to extradite Christians to Jerusalem. That's the time frame. James identifies himself in the opening verse as a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Greek word doulos for the word servant literally means slave or bond servant. Several Bible versions use the word servant, which is not very accurate for today's meaning, because you don't get paid, you don't have wages. Rather, you committed yourself to be holy and voluntarily submissive to your master. If you fumble or don't complete your task completely for your master, that result in loss or damage. Not only somehow you're going to be penalized, but because you love the master, you'll be upset that your beloved master has lost something. There's a lot that's been written about the identity of this author, James. In one instance, Apostle Paul, in a letter to Galatians, narrates that shortly after his conversion, Paul said, "Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas and tarried with him 15 days. But other apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother." Galatians 1:18-19. Through his long-term earthly family relationship, especially with Jesus as his half-brother, James was able to write his epistle from his experience on the practical aspect of living the Christian life. James emphasizes obedient faith, which is necessary for the true spirit of Christianity. At this point, I would like to begin the issue of becoming a teacher that James wrote about. Becoming a brother spot for becoming a teacher. James 3:1-12 will be the text. And thank you, Tom, for reading the text. In verses 1 to 12, we find that the text is basically divided in two parts. The first part is verses 1 and 2, and the second part is the remaining verses. The first part is a warning for many of those becoming teachers of the word. The second part, verses 3 through 12, is a discussion on untamable tongue. These self-proclaimed teachers frequently engage in all sorts of incendiary, if not heated, religious discussion. On the other hand, cursing, thoughtless or usually thoughtful, due to tongue's nature, is often contagious. Before we go into the discussion, let's back up a little bit, if you would. Go to James 1:19-22. "This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, ye in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourself doer of the word, and not merely hearer who delude themselves." Having shown the value and the blessing of having the word implanted in such a way that we become doer of the word, James now addresses the need to restrain our speech. One reason for caution in the use of tongue is now presented, because the untamed tongue is unruly and destructive. The highest and the greatest position for abusing the tongue is held by those who are teachers of the word. Therefore, James gives a caveat to those who seek the teaching position. Teachers of the word will be held to a greater accountability and will incur stricter judgment for abuse of the tongue. We go into verses 1 and 2, warning, let not many of you become teachers. James does not say, let not many of you be teachers, but he said rather, let not many of you become teachers. The word become is translated from the Greek word ganomai, which means come into being. So let not many of you come into being teachers. This passage is not just a rebuke of those who try to be a teacher before they are ready, but also a warning that many should not even become teachers. It is a fallacy to believe that everyone should become a teacher at some point in their service to Christ. Paul illustrated time and again that the body of Christ has many members, and not all members do not have the same function. He wrote a letter to the saint at Rome, Romans 12, 4 through 8. He said, for just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. The other point, he wrote a letter to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 12, 27. He said, now you are Christ's body, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, the miracles, the gift of healing, helps, administration, various kinds of tongues. All are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not the work of miracles, are they? All do not have gift of healing, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? Peter likewise taught that God's grace toward us is manifold, and that we should exercise our respective abilities accordingly. 1 Peter 4, 10 through 11. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold of grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever served is to do so as one who is serving by the strength of which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. In view of what Paul and Peter and James wrote, we should be careful as we look at Hebrews 5, 12 to 14. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principle of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, because who have a practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. This, however, does not mean that everyone should one day be teachers. The author of Hebrews may have been writing to a select audience whom he knew ought to have been teachers. So, why not many? Why can't we have many teachers? Because teachers shall receive a stricter judgment. They are set to a higher bar. There's a great responsibility involved in teaching others. We can lead people to truth, but we can just as easily lead them to error. Just as with the elder, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch of your soul as those who are given account. Excuse me. Hebrews 13:7. Those who teach will be held accountable if they mislead others. Because we all stumble in many ways, everyone has fault, and with many people, the improper use of tongue is a major one. But it takes spiritual maturity, a perfect man, not to stumble in word. So James cautioned against many people trying to become teachers. However, this should not discourage anyone from trying to find out if teaching is his gift that they might have if nurtured alone. But one should proceed with humility and caution. In verse 2, James briefly mentioned the power to bridle the whole body. He elaborates on this theme as we now consider the untamable tongue, verses 3 through 12. The illustration of a bit and rudder. Both illustrations are used to demonstrate that a small member, like the tongue, can control the body. A bit controls a horse, and a rudder controls the ship. So our tongue controls our body. If you speak a lie, it won't be long before you find yourself living a lie. If you speak suggestively in an immoral manner, it won't be long before you begin acting immorally. Also, look at the power of the tongue to direct. It's easily applied to the danger of teaching. The teacher's speech can easily set the mood of the class or congregation. He can easily direct the congregation in a godly way, or just as easily direct the congregation in a demonic way. The little fowl, verses 5 and 6. A small fowl can easily cause great destruction. Remember Smokey the Bear's slogan? Remember, only you can prevent forest fire. So it is with the tongue. A loose tongue can ruin one's reputation. It can also destroy churches, family, friendship. In describing an uncontrolled tongue, James used a very vivid term to make his point. The tongue is a fire. That's a sure way to produce disorder and contention. Tongue is a world of iniquity. It's a great collection of sins. So set among our body that defiles the whole body, that which sets on fire the course of life. It affects our neighbors, your family members. That which is set on fire of hell, what you have is misery and anguish. Here's another illustration. If you're an internet marketer or someone who wants everyone in the world to see your latest YouTube video, then viral is a word you like. Today, the two words going viral refer to the sharing of something online, either good or bad. Often a video or a website link through email or social media outlets such as Facebook and Twitter. A video could be considered viral if it gets more than 5 million viewers in 3 to 7 day period. This power of tongue, would that be enough to caution us to become teachers? There's no law of becoming teacher, but there are some territory that comes with becoming a teacher. The difficulty of taming the tongue, verses 7 through 12. Despite being able to tame wild animals, man is unable to tame the tongue. It is unruly, evil, and full of deadly poison. Yet, God gave us that. He expects us to control it. About being a deadly poison, I'd like to make an illustration. You probably heard or remember using a chemical called chlordane. Chlordane is a powerful pesticide that was banned in 1988. My father used to control the termites. Since the pesticide is a deadly poison, my father kept it tightly closed up in his garage and way, way out of reach of us siblings. And he still needed it. Just because the tongue is full of deadly poison doesn't mean that you need to get rid of it once and for all. You're all stuck with a can of deadly poison. But you should keep it covered and use it for good use. It is true that no man by himself can tame the tongue, but with God's help, he or she can tame it. Just like David prayed, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." Psalm 141, verse 3. And with God's help, we have to and we can tame it. Paul said, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as it is good for edification according to the need of a moment, so that it would give grace to those who hear." Ephesians 4:29. "Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person." Colossians 4:6. As a further example of how difficult it is to tame the tongue, James illustrated a very common and relevant problem, in other words, blessing God and cursing men. Especially on a Sunday, something that we are very likely to do, we spend time in worship blessing God. But after worship over, we drive home. We might curse men because they pull out in front of us. Racists and bigots are often guilty of blessing God and cursing men. But with the illustration of a spring, a fig tree, and a grapevine, James shows the hokum of the whole thing. Why? Because we have been made in the likeness of God. You just don't blessed and cursed men. Simply because we are made in likeness of God. Jesus taught that what comes forth is a true indication of what is inside. In Mark 7, 20-23, and he was saying that which proceeds out of man, that is what defiles the man. For from within, out of heart of man, proceed the evil thoughts, fornication, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting, and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man. Despite all the praises we offer God, it is the curses against man that reveals the true person inside. Again, this example of the misuse of the tongue should humble and cotton all those who would become teachers. But they should serve also as a warning for us, whether we teach or not, that we need to seek God's help in controlling the tongue. When you pray to God, you can use just what David prayed, Psalm 19:14. Prayed like this: "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." We can see that abusing our tongue separates us from God. But God offers a remedy, which is the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. If you find yourself in a dire situation due to idle words that you spoke, you will want to make a decision to give yourself to God and clothe yourself with Jesus Christ in baptism and have your sins washed away. If you are a Christian that needs the prayer of this congregation, we stand ready to help you to come back to God. So let us know by your coming down to the front as we stand and sing.